You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Bill Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the mobile Right Side studio, broadcasting down yonder in Jefferson County, sending the remote signal back to the powerhouse studio in Gadsden, where Butters is sending it out to the world. And yeah, man, we got the local, the state, the national, covering down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid, conservative, just plain right. Hey, we're waiting right now for connectivity with Congressman Gary Palmer. We expect him on the air like momentarily. And as soon as he gets on, we'll get him on the air with us. In the meantime, I do have a couple of text messages here. Not as many as usual, so some of y'all need to come on in and get your text messages going. 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. John from Harvest said, with regards to DEI, I said, DEI fits this administration perfectly. He said, Biden is a purposely divisive political figure. He paints half the country as a threat to the country while pretending to be a unifier. DEI, by design, divides the country by race while pretending to promote justice. DEI's real motto is segregation now, segregation tomorrow, segregation forever. Wow, John, man, that is a significant text, brother, and thank you for that. Ben from Decatur says, regarding DEI, play the jackassery sound effect with that segment. You are absolutely right. And then Scott from Athens says, you mind telling the audience? Fauci will have his first post-retirement questioning in a closed meeting. Alabama's federal reps need to be reminded we want Nuremberg 2.0. We had elderly who died alone on ventilators and sentenced to death with sedation and denied early treatment. Scott, you're right, man. We need to see Fauci needs to own some of this. And then last one I'll take before I go to the phones. TL from Huntsville says, what a great show today. Thank you. And to Butters, too. He said, I wish I could also thank Chris McKenna and Ben Bull for what they're doing. Well, you just did, brother. I read it out, and thank you for that. All right, Butters, you good to go, man, on your end?
I believe so.
All right, well, let's do that then. I tell you what, one of the members of our Republican delegation from Alabama, who is a member of leadership actually in Congress, is Congressman Gary Palmer, who is on the line with us right now. Congressman, how are you doing today?
I'm good, Phil. Headed back to Birmingham from Montgomery.
Well, I appreciate you making time for us today. Let me ask you, were you on the junket to the southern border that a large body of the Republican caucus went to?
Yeah, I was. There were 64 members of Congress did that delegation trip down there, and every one of them were Republicans. And as I expected, someone got word to the cartels that we were coming, and so they held people back from the border, except for a handful that waded across the river and then got up against the riverbank on the Texas side when they saw the delegation move and cross a bridge, cross a canal. They waded across the canal and came up the riverbank, and I hung back when I saw them and photographed them, took pictures of them as they were squeezing between the concertina wire and the freight cars that Texas has put there to try to keep people from crossing. They were from Venezuela and Honduras.
So maybe the solution to our border crisis is just for the Republicans to go down there every week.
You know, I said that kind of as a joke, but I've been to the border. I've been to the border in California and Arizona, down to McAllen, Texas, second time to Eagle Pass. And I learned something this time that I think is very instructive and also very, very concerning, is how the cartels have integrated themselves into the U.S. economy. They're running legitimate businesses. They're in banking, even into car dealerships. And just in the Del Rio sector, Phil, they're making $32 million per week. And, you know, the guys that I photographed coming up, the Border Patrol stopped them and ask them where they were from, and like I said, Venezuela and Honduras. We don't need them coming like that, but the ones that really worry me is the ones who are coming in undetected or that get away. They elude capture. I had a rancher tell me Wednesday that he's had the same fence cut 77 times since December 28th. That's not 77 times in a month or a year. That's 77 times in a week. Had another talk about they stole this guy's backhoe and drove it 46 miles running through fences and until it ran out of gas, I guess. But it's no longer a crisis. It's a catastrophe.
It's worried
sick about. Yeah. Well, we picked up 312 known or suspected terrorists. And I like to remind people it only took 19 to carry out 9/11.
Yeah.
That's just what we picked up. There's thousands of Chinese and Russians that have come in that we know about, but there's probably, Jim Jordan thinks there's between 1.5 and 2 million gotaways or people that were never detected. And it is, in my opinion, and I hope this nothing ever happens, but I'm just really, really concerned that this has now become a major national security issue.
Well, I agree. And Congressman, I want to ask you, and I'll preface my question by saying I am fully aware of the fact that right now we only have the majority in the House, and it's a slim majority. And I'm also, fully aware of the fact that that when you're not the executive branch, there's only certain things you can do. And then at the same time, I recognize that we're dealing with a problem that is massive in its scale. But I guess what I'm about to ask you is this. What are y'all going to do? Because right now, I think the vast majority of the American public agrees with the fact that you went down there. We know that it's necessary for you to go see it. But we're also just really tired of press conferences, and we want to know, what can we do? Do we have to wait until Biden's out of office before we can get something done? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, unless you want us to violate the Constitution and take, I guess the only way you can get the executive branch to do something without an election is to depose them. I mean, you served in the legislature. You understand this. There's a separation of powers. I've suggested and pushed for us to file suit in federal court because I think there's multiple violations of the separation of powers that are taking place from the Biden administration, unprecedented in the history of the country. But we've got a small margin in the House. We don't have the Senate. We passed a really good border security bill, H.R. 2, and it's sitting over the Senate. It's been sitting over there for 10 or 11 months since we passed it. I don't know if we're going to abide by the Constitution. I don't know how you force the administration to do something that they don't want to do. Next week we're filing impeachment, articles of impeachment against Mayorkas, and I think
that'll
move through the House, and I think he'll be impeached, but the Senate won't convict him. It takes 2/3 vote in the Senate to convict him. So the elections have consequences, enormous consequences. And when President Trump was in office, he put enormous pressure on Mexico that threatened their economy. And I was talking with one of the top law enforcement guys in Texas, and he said that's the direction we need to go. Mexico does about $680 billion a year in trade with the U.S., We need to put that on the line and get them to doing what they did in Trump, making these people stay there. They're seeking asylum. They're supposed to stay in Mexico, not come here. They need to secure their southern border so those people are not crossing into Mexico and then coming across the country to our southern border. I know we can do this, but you got to have somebody that can take that action.
Well, and I agree with everything you just said, and I'm keenly aware of it. But let me ask you this: so there's a lot of talk right now about negotiations with the White House because they want, the White House wants Ukraine aid, and the Republicans are tying the idea of border security to it first. I mean, do you see the power of the purse is that that is certainly what you have right now. And the ability to not pass a budget that the administration wants. What do you see right now in terms of negotiations? I mean, you chair policy for the Republicans. What do you think is going to happen there that we can do? Because I really do believe, and I know you're up there, you're the one who's on the ground, you see things, and I'm not trying to pretend that I'm the one who's there. But I'm just asking, is there not a negotiation piece right now? Because I do believe that this is probably the largest national security crisis that we've had next to 9/11. Is this southern border being inundated the way it is?
I think to on that last point you made, I think we're going to wind up having people lose their lives because of this, and the blood will be on Biden's hands and on the Democrats' hands. But in terms of the negotiations, I talked with Speaker Johnson about this while we were at the border, and he's made it clear to Schumer that we've got to have border security. It's really up to Chuck Schumer whether or not he's going to accept the position that we've taken. But I just left the change of command for the Adjutant General for the Alabama National Guard, and stood there with a couple, a husband and wife, who are both in the National Guard, who has a daughter at the Merchant Marine that I nominated for that position, and told them that in the event that I'm fully aware that if we shut down the government, what it means to them, and that I've already got a letter prepared to go to the payroll officer, that I will not get paid. I'm not going to impose something on somebody else I'm not willing to suffer myself. So we may, that may be where we wind up, Phil, is with a government shutdown.
Yeah. Well, and it's a crying shame. And let me ask you, I mean, you've got border Democrats. I mean, there are some in the House and the Senate who are border state Democrats. And of course, basically the whole nation's a border state right now. But those true border state Democrats, I mean, behind closed doors, do they not acknowledge that this is a really, really raw deal that that is happening right now?
Some of them do, and I think there's some of them that would vote with us on securing the border, but I don't know if they have the guts and the character to stand with us on if it comes to a shutdown, to put pressure on their own, on their colleagues in the Senate and at the White House. I just don't see that. Maybe one or two. But,
yeah.
We're so divided right now. We're at one of the most dangerous places in the history of our country, Phil, and we're divided on just about everything you can think of, and we come up with new ways to divide ourselves, and it's going to cost us. I say this, and some people think it might be sounding a little, I know more than you kind of thing, but there are things that some of us know that, honestly, I can't sleep at night because of what this administration has allowed to happen. And if you had asked me this when I first ran for office, that we would find ourselves in this position, I wouldn't have believed you. I wouldn't believe that there'd be anybody in either party that would literally put our country at risk by opening our border. And part of what I think is going on here is that I don't think they're going to try to get all these people registered to vote. What they're going to do is move them into these states that are losing population, and the next census, everybody has to be counted for representational purposes. So I've got my staff looking into into this issue. Warren Davidson from Ohio has already introduced a bill that would prevent counting people who came here illegally for determining how many representatives a state can have. But I was talking with Jim Jordan again, and Jim thinks that there's somewhere in the range of 10 or 12 million people that by the end of Biden's term that will have come into the country. Well, that's 14, 15 more representatives.
It's absolutely, it's unconscionable. And Congressman, I hate it, but we are absolutely out of time. I mean, I've got a break that I've actually pushed back a couple of minutes, but you're spot on here, sir. And I really just encourage all you guys in the fight. Thank you for going to the border. Thank you for bringing and raising awareness. But I know the American public is looking to see something happen. I hope it doesn't come to a government shutdown, but I also recognize that may be one of the only tools you guys have left in the toolbox for right now. Congressman Gary Palmer, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Phil.
All right, thank you. Ran long. We'll come right back from the break. Probably have just a couple of minutes before we go to the next break, but that's the way we do it when we got somebody on the road who's calling into the show. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.